became aware of the power of conversation when I was a stay-at-home mom of three preschoolers. Friends would call and I'd talk their ears off, desperate for adult communication. If I remember correctly, some of them quit calling. When the children became teenagers, I loved driving them wherever they needed to go, as when there was no eye contact, they were much more open and talkative, giving me an important view into their worlds.
Too much of living, breathing, and being alone opened that window specifically with Agnes. When deep in the ugly grays of winter, I called her out of the blue to ask if she would simply phone me for just 1 week for 5 minutes, just to ask me what I was doing for the day, so I could talk to someone, hear another voice. Note, loneliness being one of our conversational themes over the last year, to make my long story even longer, before long it was Agnes who suggested that our 5 minute sound checks were actually interesting, and going on for 20-30 minutes, we would just take off. I firmly believe that conversation saves us. It heals and reveals.
And now, as a boomer who doesn't have any interest in retiring, I am rejuvenated, replenished by conversation. I'm cognizant of the power and the importance of both conversation and story. And Suleika, I appreciate always being able to exchange ideas, thoughts, and words with you.
Well, one other thing. Whenever I mention that our podcast is called The Lost Art of Conversation, the response is always positive. There's always an emotional response of, oh, great, that's a great idea. So going with that, let's go with it.
Let's go. Anyways, hello, hello to everybody. And as I mentioned last week, Marsuleika is taking a break for the month of July, because she has gone into create and produce mode, which according to an email I got from her yesterday is working. So she's really pleased. I may have struggled last week, but this week I have a fabulous gift and a guest for you. And joining us today is Judith Pratt Jeffries. Judith, you and I go back, I was trying to figure that out, a year and a half now, something like that?
But it must be a little bit longer than that. I think we were both in Coast Builders Lab course in 2017, right?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been following Danny for so many years. As I said on the call the other day, I was following Danny when he was fire pole marketing. Yeah. So anyways, Judith Pratt Jeffries is the author of Permission Granted, How to Find and Follow a Path to a Life True to Yourself. There will be a link to the book in the show notes, so if you want to check it out, and I really recommend you do, and by the end of this recording, hopefully you will want to do that as well. Okay, Judith, just to get started, from reading your book, I get the impression you had a life that, by all appearances, could be called successful, but you realized you weren't happy. Now, many women sort of suck it up, shall we say, but you decide to take some action. Can you tell us a bit more about that, please?
It didn't happen overnight that I took the action, but I suppose that if I just read, can I read you just a little bit about in the introduction to my book? Because I think it tells a story,
yes.
Really. And it starts out that, well, it was 8:45 on a Friday night, and I was standing on a corner 15 minutes away from home. And, of course, home then was an urban city environment in Toronto, Canada. And the streetcar just let me off, and because they had an order to do a short turn. So I had to be standing on that corner waiting for the next streetcar to come along. It was going to come along, but in the meantime, it was snowing, and there was this icy wind coming right into my spine, and all I could think of was, what am I doing here? Because I am a department director in a major teaching hospital. I make good money, but I work long hours, and I have no life except for a couple of hours in my house, which I will spend eating order-in chicken in bed and watching TV, and the weekend will be driving boring with this weather, and the time will be taken up with clothes washing, house cleanup, shopping, home budgeting, and bookkeeping. And if I'm lucky, I may have a couple of hours with a good book. So I began to really think about my life seriously at that point as something I wanted to get away from. I was successful. I had an excellent job, and I had, in a very short time, I started as a clinical dietitian. In a very short time, I went up the ladder to be the director of the department. So it was always challenging. It was always interesting. But I always felt there was something missing. And I had many changes in my life in that period of time. And I suppose you might want to call me a change junkie, because I do like a bit of adventure.
Okay, I'm going to just interrupt you there for a second, because I'm so glad you told the story of the streetcar. I remembered it. And I could not remember if you told me the story in conversation before, like when I was planning this episode of the podcast. I skimmed through the book again, and I didn't see that specific story. Now, obviously, I skimmed through the introduction too quickly. So I was going to ask you about it for clarification. So I'm so glad you led with that, because that was one of my big, huge things that I know a lot of people, I mean, especially in Canada, and, you know, many other parts of the world can identify with that winter of, and then, like, what am I doing?
Yes.
Now, you admit you took years to make your dream permanent. And, of course, as we all know, hindsight is always so clear. We all live by societal rules. Which ones do you think we women could dispense with first that might help us create and expedite that life of our choosing?
Well, I suppose it that has something to do with, you know, the generation. I'm not sure about young women now, but as I grew up and I became an adult, there was always some obligation or expectation of someone else about what I should be doing. I should be studying. I should be going to university. I should become a professional. I should get married and have children, and I should be a good mother. And I did all of those things because that was expected of me. I think the thing that women did then, and they probably still do to a large extent, is that they put others' expectations and needs ahead of their own. And that's not always fair, is it? But it's hard. It's hard to get by that, because that's my book. It's called Permission Granted, because we need to give ourselves permission to do what we really want to do in life, to be the people we really can be, sooner or later. And it's never too late. Never, never too late.
Yeah, I think we need to give ourselves permission, but sometimes it takes that other person who has done what we want to do to say permission granted. And I'd appreciate the fact that, you know, you are that person, and hopefully, you know, if there's just one person, one woman listening to this podcast who goes like, okay, I got to get the book because I can do this. I need to do this. I want to do this. And I can do this, you know, with Judith in my back pocket.
You do need help. Yes, you do need help. And I, very early on, I went to talk with a work-life consultant. And I found her to be a very interesting person. And just going through that experience with her, I realized that, yes, I could actually start to look at my life and determine what I liked about it and what I didn't, and perhaps come to some decision about making some changes. You need help. You always do. Your family and close friends may not give it to you, though, because they worry about you, especially if you do something like I did and decide to run off to an island. They kind of doubt your sanity sometimes. You know, you know what you're doing is right, but they care about you. So they say, well, be careful and think about what you're doing and think about what you're leaving. The other thing is the people that you might find to help. Having a good coach or counselor is one thing, but there are other people out there who are interested in the same kinds of things you are. And if you can get a support group going, that is an excellent thing to be part of.
I think too, you talk about family, and the status quo is always safe. And I know when I year many years ago I had a wellness business, and I would say to people, if you're making changes to yourself, whether it's losing weight, getting healthier, getting fitter, that could possibly change the way people around you look at themselves as well. And I can see maybe there's a bit of correlation there. Like if you're going to take charge of your life and, go live on a lovely island in the Caribbean, then possibly friends, family could say, wait a minute, I like being able to see you or just be able to call you up, or like this, it's also that. And we all have that little selfish bit of like, this is going to change my life too. And while they want to encourage you, they sort of want to discourage you because it's going to change their life too. And maybe they're not ready for that, or it's not, they like their life.
And when I decided to move here, it took me quite a long time, but I remember my mother being very upset. Now, she didn't live close to me. She lived in Montreal. I lived in Toronto, and I would see her maybe every couple of months. But she said, "Oh no," she said, "I didn't think you would do that until I died," which really shook me. But you know what? I have this I can tell you that later on, when I had been on my island and had been happily teaching children for a while, she was very happy for me. And one of the reasons she was happy for me, she told me, is that she had always wanted to be a teacher herself. So she was able to identify with my happiness doing that with children. And so it was okay.
Oh,
It
that's
was
great.
okay.
Yeah. And those little addendas to the story, the follow-ups are what can really set this as a firm, this is the right decision to make. Like it takes away the guilt, and I'm not saying people should feel guilty, but sometimes, and especially with mothers and daughters, there can be little twinges here and there. And to have her say that is great. I really appreciate the personal stories in your book. I identified with you as a woman because of them, which honestly made me want to follow your tips and your coaching. You had some struggles through the transition to island life, which keeps you human. Now, do you have any suggestions that might serve as shortcuts for women who know they want something different but are confused or nervous about changing that status quo?
Well, I think the biggest thing that you can do is to think about your life as something that you want to change, but know that you don't have to do it all at once. And in my case, I took a lot of time thinking about what kind of an environment I wanted to live in. And I had over the years, I had traveled to a number of islands. I loved being near the ocean. Water was always something that had an appeal for me. I worked in the summers at university up on the shores of the St. Lawrence River. Then, when I was living in Toronto, I was living by Lake Ontario in the beaches area. So water had a big pull for me, but I also wanted to be warm when I was near that water. And that's why the island choice. Not everybody is going to want to live in an island, of course, but it is important to think about what kind of a place do I really want to be in where I could feel nourished. Now, it might be that you would like to be in a small town if you're living in an urban environment, because that's where your job has been, your life has been, and you want to get away from that. So maybe you want a small town feeling where you go. Maybe it is a mountainous area, or maybe you want to be on the coast, either east or west, and you don't necessarily want to be so warm as I did, but it would take some time to think about that. In my book, there's a companion workbook that comes with it. And one of the exercises I suggest is that you take some time and say to yourself, okay, what do I want to see around me? And by that I mean, do you see trees? What kind of trees do you see? You see rocks? What sounds do you hear? What smells are there? What kind of people would you like to have around you? Really give yourself a chance to think about all of those things that you really would like in the candy box of your life. And that will tell you a lot about where you should be moving if you want to be moving, or maybe just slightly changing the environment where you are. But that to me is the cornerstone. If you choose your environment well, then it makes it possible for you to do all of the other things. Find another activity, find this kind of social engagement you would like. Maybe it even enables you to make a change that's financially possible. Because I think for a lot of women, and I suppose I thought about that very, very seriously myself. What kind of an income activity would I have if I left my job? And would it be enough? I always think that that word is also very important as a guiding word in your life. What is enough? When I was living in Toronto, I certainly had a lot of personal possessions I don't have now. And I always felt I had to have more of something. Being in an environment in which, you know, in 2 minutes you can be in a big shopping mall, your consumerism is out in full force, and you buy things because they're there and you don't really need them. And if you're in a place where you don't need them, then you realize that, no, all of those things I had did not give me the happiness I was searching for. And they just cost money. They just cost money. But you do have to have some financial support. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to go and live in Australia, unless you know that you can financially support yourself, at least basically. So it takes a while to figure those things out.
And if I remember correctly, you went down to your island a couple of times before you made the change permanent. Is that correct?
Oh, many times, yes. My first visit to this island where I live now, and it certainly wasn't the first island I'd visited. I did a lot of traveling. But this particular island I visited on a Christmas vacation trip with my sister. And really, there was just a case of, let's go somewhere warm. And we looked, and my sister found this as a possibility. And that's why I came here. Not because I had selected it, but I really did like it. I fell in love with it from the first moment. I loved hearing the Spanish. I found the people they were so friendly. I loved the music. So it became a place that I thought I would like to live there. I really think I could live there. But over a period of 10 years, I went back and forth. And I met some people so that when I came back, subsequent visits, those are the same people I would see again. I actually had 2 leaves of absence from my job. And one was for 3 months. And I think the second one was like 3 to 4 months also. Neither one of them was a paid leave of absence, by the way. But however, I had enough time to live in a neighborhood and learn the culture. And so I was able to realize I probably could be okay. I learned a new language. I got to know the people. So it wasn't a matter of coming here for 2 weeks and saying, okay, I want to live there. And it took quite a long period of time for me to actually say, okay. And the other thing that happened in my life was I got to push. And I think that makes a big difference. You may find it very uncomfortable being pushed out of your comfort zone, but if it does something like help you give yourself permission to get away to a place you really want to be in, then fine. Suck it up, go through the pain, and understand that actually it's a gift. I had a friend who says all the time to me, find the gift in that. I was able at that point to, it was a mutual decision between myself and the vice president I reported to leave and take an early retirement package. So it was a wonderful, wonderful way to leave. I didn't even leave at that point. It took me another 2 years because I was offered a government appointment at the time. And it was something that was very important to my profession. So it was kind of the last thing that I felt I had to do. It was being expected of me, so I did it. I enjoyed doing it, but at the end of it, I was very, very glad to leave. Get on a plane and get to where I can be warm.
Okay, you're making my life incredibly easy here, because the first thing I was going to ask is, any dream too small? And I think you summed that up by saying, you know, you may just want to move to a small town. I mean, no dream is too small if it's your dream. Is that correct?
That's right. And the people that are around you, the people that you would like to have around you, that's very important too. To me, I wanted people that smiled a lot, people that were easy to talk to. This can be the local people. This can be the expats, in my case, that I've come to know. You need to have the people around you that are going to make you feel good. I think that's another thing. You need to feel good. You need to feel nourished. And if being warm makes you feel good, if looking and seeing some trees that have flowers on the top of them, walking down the street and being able to say hello to 15 people in 10 minutes, if that makes you happy, that's a life. That's a life that you can enjoy, a life of your own choosing.
Okay, the two words, just a really quick sum up here, the two words that I've heard from you now in the last, 10 minutes, whatever it was. The first one was enough. And I think that is so vital, because often people think, how can I replace my income? And when you turn it around and say, what is enough for me to have to make my life fulfilled, that's a totally different question. You don't need the trappings. You don't need, you know, the nice clothes, all the shoes. You don't need the fancy car. You don't need the second TV. You might not even need a TV at all. You know, all that sort of stuff. It's just, what is enough to keep you happy? And then the second word was fulfilled. And once again, if you look at your life and you're not fulfilled, then how do you turn that around?
Mm-hmm. I think I always had a feeling that there was something else. There had to be a little bit more than whatever I was doing, the life I was living. I was very influenced by Barbara Scher's work, this is a person who is no longer living, but she was a wonderful woman and a life coach, and she influenced the lives of many, many people, both women and men. And if anybody wants to read about someone like Barbara, you can read about her work. There's a one of her books, I think I must have all of her books. Over the years, she was very influential for me. But one of her books is called I Could Do Anything If I Only Knew What That Was. And that's what she did. She helped people understand what they could do, and they weren't quite sure. Because that's the other thing, I think, for women who are in a place, in a job, and they feel stuck. They would like to do something else, but they're not quite sure what it is. So they need help determining that.
Okay, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not going to say you're the next Barbara Sher, but for anybody who's listening that this sounds really interesting, let me first of all say that your website is true. Oh boy, I had it up here on my monitor a second ago. You tell me what it is. True Self
Life Journey, Judith.com.
I'm sorry, Judith, who created that website for you.
I am amazed that you forgot it. You
because I love to spiel it off, maybe I'll just delete this part and I'll make it sound like I'm a whiz-bang kid. But up the road or in the near future or even possibly tomorrow, if people contact you and want some help figuring that all out, that's where you're heading as your next iteration, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, I would love to help other women find a way to have a different life that they would like. And I'd like to help other women, to help them identify what that could be. So, yes, I would love to hear from somebody. And if anybody wants to contact me, we can have a conversation and see where we take it from there. I'm also very busy creating an online course. Now that's going to take me a little while to create and have online, but that's down the line also.
Okay, but if somebody is interested and contacts you, and just for the listeners, Judith is not volunteering her time. Obviously, this is her next iteration, her next career, however long she wants it to last. But, you know, maybe you're going to be helping her create that course by being a private client. So definitely contact her.
Well, it would be lovely. Yes.
Yeah. So is Amazon, the book's available at Amazon? Is there anywhere else it's available?
No, it's available through Amazon. There is an ebook, a Kindle version, and there is a print version.
Okay. So I'm going to try to sum it all up here without flubbing this again. True Self Life Journey Judith.com. That link will be in the show notes, so I encourage you to check that out. The book is Permission Granted, How to Find and Follow a Path to a Life True to Yourself by my guest Judith Pratt Jeffries. And a link to the Amazon link for that will also be in the show notes. If you do want to contact Judith, there is a contact link at her website. So jump on over there and check it out. Her blog posts are amazing. I read them and I just think, yeah, this is what I want to do. Now, we're talking about Judith's next iteration. I'm going to add here that this is how Judith and I met. I think it was me went on and said, I need an accountability partner because I've had those before in terms of setting goals, trying to accomplish them. If you're sitting alone in an office and just doing this for yourself, then obviously you can, you know, go up and get a cup of tea, or you think, oh, I'm a little tired today, I'd rather have a nap. But if you're checking in with an accountability partner, then you are feel a little bit more duty bound and productive. And I want to say, Judith, it's been a hoot. And for anybody who's looking for coaching, I would recommend Judith in a second because this woman is all personality. She's a riot. She's smart. Oh, my goodness. She's so smart. And, yeah, she's the kindest, gentlest accountability partner I've ever had. But she says, you know, I'm going to keep bugging you about this. And so I'm sure her coaching would be similar. Sweet, gentle, but you know. Anyways, Judith, I want to thank you for coming on today. You are my gift. Find the gift. I found you. And I thank you for that. So any closing thoughts from you?
I'm just going to say thank you back. And it really is. I do believe we have been talking to each other every 2 weeks for most of 2.5 years.
Wow.
And those conversations that we have are the highlight for me every 2 weeks. We've never met personally, but we definitely will. And I'm going to hold you to the fact that you did say you would come and visit me here. And so perhaps next winter, if I bug you enough, you will make it.
I have told so many people now that I would be mortified and embarrassed and humiliated to not come down. And just recently, I think I mentioned earlier on a private conversation before the podcast that I was recently in touch with a very old friend. And in summing up my life, I said in an email, I said to him, you know, maybe I'm just going to toss it all in and go live on a Mediterranean. Yeah, that's a Freudian slip for me. A Caribbean island with my friend Judith. And instantly came this, ooh, this is a conversation we need to have. So who knows, there could be a whole bunch of Canucks showing up on your doorstep as soon as we get out of this whole COVID thing that the world is experiencing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It's been a delight.
Yeah, thanks very much. And thank you to all our listeners. We will see you next time.